Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Hey. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I am black and I am proud. Tired of beating my head up against the wall and working for someone else. That's Jane Brown. Something we got to say more of now than any time in history. Are we proud? Are we black? Wake up this morning, y'all. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, because we got some conversations to have this morning. We got a lot of conversations, in fact, to have this morning. And I told you I was going to have Professor Small back because he has such little time. I am going to bring him back. I called him late. I said, come on back, because I promised, because some of y'all who called me at home and asked me, was I going to have him? Yes, I am. So wake up, y'all. So much to talk about this morning, because we want to continue our talks about our people and what we're doing and where we need to be going. And, you know, Professor and I was talking last night. You know, like I was saying, this little 10%, this little 10% of people who are really raising havoc in our community, for whatever the reasons are that can be discussed, but it's not our community. We're allowing them to really, really frame our community. I remember in Ron Emanuel's book that he got Plans for America, he said the one who frames is the one who wins. The framer wins the game. And it's how you frame something. If you're the one to frame it, you're the one who win it. And that's in his book, Plans for America. And we are being framed in a way that we're lazy, we don't care, that our communities are nasty, that we don't get up and send our children to school, and that we're shooting up each other. That's where it's being framed. That is not the majority of our community. That is not the majority of our people. When they framed it, you need to run away from your music. They framed it and said, that's old school, new school. And when white old music came, there was legend, you know, and they were dealing with some other stuff. And so they had our people talking about old school, new school, but we repeat stuff. And you ran away from our music. Other folks picked it up. When our children look at someone not for idol, they don't have no black idol, a little young black idol. They don't have Michael Jackson, all the folks we had. Stevie Wonder was young along with me, smoking all of them. They're not singing on the street. You get off the street, they frame it. We gave up our music, our culture, our restaurant. So you don't eat, they make you fat, they're unhealthy. But you can go to the Mexican restaurant, eat tacos and all the other fat stuff. And you can go to the Chinese restaurant, eat that rice and lard. They framed it or reran. It's how we are framed, and that's how we deal with it. In terms of school, we are bad. Our children don't want to learn. They're too bad. They come to school messed up in the head so they can't learn. They frame it. We lose. They win. And why do they frame it? They frame it so you don't have to ask for the resources. Don't worry about the resources. Don't worry about the resources. They frame it, we listen. Carol Washington Culture Center back. What they framed on y'all, told y'all those lies. Got to framing it, what we were doing over there, which was not true. They framed it. You believed it. You ran. You listened at the Boulevard Arts Center. Front page of the trip. Page down of the trip. On Thursday, Beverly Arts Center in line for $2.2 million bailout. $4 million they owe. The city's giving them money. Everybody giving them money. Framing them like it's important for their cultural experience. Not our culture now, because we're not supposed to be bothered with that old Harold Washington Culture Center. And you look at the Beverly Arts Center, they've been in trouble since 2002 and not really producing that much stuff. Not like what we're producing, but we have to be fighting city colleges and all these folks from in the city about our center. They frame it, you lose, they win. It makes no sense. You have, I was looking at UNO and they 16 schools that they've built for their children, even the ones who are not legally here. But the tax dollars are used to build their schools because they said they're going to build business folks, they're going to build community people, they're going to build scientists, doctors, and all, and their schools are geared toward that, and that's what they're doing, and they use your tax dollars. They frame it. We lose, they win. And we just repeat whatever they're saying on the radio, we repeat it on the TV over and over and over and over again with no facts. No facts. We frame it, they frame it. We lose, they win. In the trip the other day, we had, I think it was Monday, listening to the Voice of Tradition that was put together by Don Turner Trice. And he was talking about this Greek man who said how he was listening to our music in the tones and stuff, and how it sounded. And it's just really, whether you listen to Mahalia Jackson or whether you're listening to Dr. King or anybody, how our music is. And that he was doing a historical piece on it at Columbia College. They frame it, they win, we lose. Of course we know about our music. Of course we know about how our spirit is hooked in the diaspora across the world. We know that. They frame it, we lose, they win. They're framing us. And when I mean this, the whole community ought to be upset. You're going to tell me Beverly Arden need this bailout and need all this money, and Harold Washington have less than that, and you're going to be fighting us, trying to close us, be trying to take our property? One of the things our attorney said, the ones who we have, Reverend, we have, but you know, we're in reorganization court, and we were talking on, I think it was, might have been Wednesday, and he was saying that they didn't understand how the black community did not, and all the stuff we're doing over there, the business community and all, have to step up. And I told him that one of the problems with black folks is that black folks think if they get into blackness that they will not be accepted back in the white community, white supremacy in the white community. And sometimes at the detriment of our own people, they just let us just ride and without a purpose. So, you know, they frame it, they win, we lose. Do not go over them. When Mandela got out of jail, they told him, you're not safe over there, we got to put you over here. They put him in a white community for him to be safe. That same community that had been fighting to get him out of jail. People make money, you got to leave. You don't do that. You don't build communities. They frame it, they win, we lose. There's another article about the new school design, GM school, coming to two brand new downtown high-rises. In our face, telling us the quality of education they're giving our children, and we're busy talking about the children can't learn, because that's what they told us. And they got us thinking this, and it's not correct. They only took over these schools. The schools went down, and they're still down. They tell you that they'll tell you that we're taking these resources. We gotta tear down these public housing. We fought for public housing, and what happened with the public housing? There was one for one replacement. That was the law. Clinton them changed it. Then folks did not need to. Be living in them high rises. That was their home. But they downtown living in high rises. We're going to give them vouchers, and we're going to give them Section 8. Gutierrez got most of the numbers. When they had to redo those numbers, if you check the numbers, most of them went to him. And what did they say in our community? We cannot allow a landlord to use a Section 8 down here if you're next to a vacant lot. They frame it. They win, we lose. When you look at coming to entryway of our community, I mean, what other community you go in and grass coming about the sidewalk on your main thoroughfare? That's not the people, that's not your responsibility. That's what you pay taxes for. Our taxes are not used in our benefit. Our taxes have already been used to build other schools for people. You see our tax dollars in the Beverly Arts Center and all these other places. They tell us to talk about something, we talk about something. Our clubs, you know, y'all want to you want to be talking about our music and stuff. We had clubs to go to and listen to music. The clubs we had was not the places where things happen. It's these other people came in our community that had this. But you can't go to no clubs, Harley, because why? Black on black political economic crime. Oh, we're not going to give them license. Shut them down. Vote them dry. Do this. Do that. Frame it, we lose, they win. Then we go to all these other places. and drink and talk. So our community has been dismantled, and it's been dismantled being used. The white folks have used, the powers to be have used the cue ball, the white cue ball, as they had the stick. And when you look at our leadership, whether it's political, our business, or religious, we have to really understand, and you cannot blame the victim. We're also going to have Professor Small back on today, as I promised you, so we can finish what we're doing from last week. And we're going to finish talking about this whole thing about our community. I'm just kind of numb because it is not our total community. When I saw this baby on TV playing guitar with his face like that, why would they put this baby on TV like that? They would have protected the white child. And the mama don't know no better. Yeah, I protect them. They don't know no better. And every time you look around our kids, they short our kids at nothing, 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 nothing. And everybody say we're nothing, 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 nothing. If you think we're nothing, 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 there's something wrong with you. There is an element in our community that got to be dealt with. We got an internal, external struggle, but it's not the largest. And I do believe some of those elements are being put in place in those areas where they want the community. So they're perpetuating gangs in some of those areas. And some of them are just, these people are mentally ill. And they done went into jail and they don't know nothing else. They came out with nothing else to do. And it's like a whole family of them. You got family members out there. You know, you said if you got a grandmama 30-something years old and she's a grandmama and she just buried her grandchild, that's a cultural that got to be dealt with. You know, and what? Why? And I'm really upset about keep seeing this baby. My grandbaby don't want to see this. I mean, a subculture, as Ebony say, a subculture. But, you know, having this baby on TV last night, it hurt my heart playing the guitar. That's a, embed something in your mind. When and they really not talking where the drugs coming from and all the other stuff. So, anyway, they frame it. We lose, they win. In the book, Plans for America, that Rahm Emanuel wrote, he said, the one who frame it is the one who wins. And we're certainly being framed. We're being framed like that. It's really an interesting book, y'all. Very small. He wrote this book when he was in Congress. And I've read it through and through. Okay, well, I tell you, we're going to have a Professor Small on, too, at our, just a few minutes before 7, we'll bring him on. And then we will get into what we were talking about last week. And don't forget, this Beverly Arts Center, this bailout. Come on, y'all. There's two sets of rules in our community. Two sets for our culture, because we can't control it. They don't want us to control it. Our education, our everything. It's two sets of rules. Understand that. You listen to Talk of Chicago 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We are also on Blog Talk. You can listen to Blog Talk. Dorothy Tillman, Coffee Tea, Emily Underground. Look at all that and find Blog Talk and listen to me on Blog Talk, which you can. We're also on Facebook, group Facebook. Most of we're also on iHeartRadio. We're on www.wvon.com. So there's a lot of ways you can get us, and we can talk. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman. Wake up your friends. Tell them to get their coffee, get their tea, and come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
Every Saturday from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m., fresh vegetables and fruits, nutritious smoothies, and free Zumba classes are available to you and your family at the Farmers Market at 95th Street and Eggleston. Fresh produce such as...
On aisle. Ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp. It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs, or put in a programmable thermostat, how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now and tuck away more resources for later.
You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Colin, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
And now a weather update. Winds out of the south-southeast at 9 miles an hour.
Citizens of America, this is a message from feedthepig.org. Do not be alarmed. We are here to help you save yourself. According to public records, Americans spent more money than they earned in 2005. This is the first negative savings rate in the U.S. since the Great Depression. America, we must change our behavior. We need to stop spending every dime we earn and start feeding the pig. We must start putting away a piece of our paycheck. On the 1st and the 15th, we must pay ourselves before we pay anyone or anything. We must make a budget. And yes, even consider cutting up a credit card. And we must tell a friend to do the same. America, to start moving in the right direction, we must start a movement. Join us at feedthepig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Log on to feedthepig.org today.
And for more traffic updates, brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Say it loud.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. We back, y'all. We are back to talk about this. I'm black and I'm proud. And there's nothing wrong with being black and proud. There are those who will tell, make you think that to be black and to be proud, that something is wrong with you, that you got to be everybody but who you are. It makes no sense. You have got to belong to something or somebody. As I told you earlier, I was telling our attorneys we're in reorganization. They was talking about, I said, well, black folks be afraid to help black people because they think they won't have no way back in. Look at the Beverly Arts Center yesterday, y'all. And them folks been in trouble since 2002. Look at the $12 million. Look at all the money they got from the city and from the state. And nobody's saying nothing, but y'all can holler and jump about the Harold Washington. And that's one place that we're working with children over there. And that we are doing things. It makes no sense. There's two sets of rules. There is no way in the black community not supposed to stand for it. It's up, y'all not going to stand for the two sets of rules. It makes no sense. You should make sure you read about the Beverly Arts Center. Also, I was looking, that's in the trio. You can go online and get it, and you got a whole bunch of stuff. And it's interesting what you see what Madigan gave them and what Emil Jones gave them and the city gave them and how the arts, well, how the, you're going to have Fifth Bank forgiving half of their loan. They had $4 million to them forgiving half of it. Fifth Bank also, Fifth Third Bank, also have contracts with the city. And then you have the city giving some, and then they saying you got to raise this money. Within a day, whites had stepped up and raised the money. And look at all the people who gave the Beverly Arts Center this money. They've been in trouble since 2002. You haven't seen them all over their butts hollering about them being in trouble. And they're really, you know, what we're doing is entirely different. But we also preserving and protecting our culture. And one of the things the mayor said is that it's about the culture, protecting the culture and the children. What about our culture? And if you look in the tree about also, on Monday, you're going to see this guy from Greece who's at Columbia College doing research on our music, our traditional music, talking about how our sound is and how we sound and what it is. It's really that spirit. It's our ancestral spirit, but then we ran away from our music. And somebody else, everybody else is redefining and redoing our culture. It's a very interesting article to read, listening to the voices of tradition. And it's just interesting, and it's by Don Turner Trice. Nobody can talk about slavery, any of our history, unless the white folks write about them, talk about them. You talk about them, black folks run away, or they said, wait a minute, that's being racist. Also, if you go online, if you go on UNO website, you'll find that it's at 13 schools, it got 16, but they're building. They're building these schools for their children. They're using our tax dollars. Black folks don't understand those are our tax dollars. Our tax dollars. We have a right to the resources. A right. As I told you, this book that Ron Emanuel wrote when he was in Congress, it's, you know, A Plan for America. And he said the one who framed it is the one who win it. And our community is being framed the wrong way right now. We need to stop that. Every time we get on the phone, well, you know, we just kill each other like dogs. This is not the majority of our community. We got a problem that we have to deal with. Folks want to march, but it's money in poverty and it's money in crime. Let me go to the phone because soon I'm going to have to bring Professor Small. The board is lit up, and I want to make sure that I get y'all. Janice, how you doing this morning?
Oh, how you doing, Ms. Tillman? You're telling us the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at it now.
Turn your radio down, Janice.
Oh, that's my TV set. Let me cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that I get the extra newspaper, and I also get the other Hispanic newspaper, the Lawndale Times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my Lisa Madigan and what's his name there, the governor, they helped them keep that Second Federal Bank. Second Federal Bank is giving loans to the Dream Act. I saw last week in the paper that Quinn put $4 million over there at Morton College to help train Hispanic leaders. When he comes to the black community, he got a dance in his foot. He's talking about how he likes the blues. You know, put some money out here to help people. Open up those construction trades.
Well,
I just get so sick of hearing Democrats, Tea Party, this and that.
Well, yeah, it's not about race.
It's not about party.
It's about what about our race. You know, the one of the things is, Janice, is that if you go to UNO and all them sites, it's like our tax dollars being used to build millions of dollars, and we're not getting anything. But they're framing it to make us, while we over talking about all this little minutia, and I'm not saying crime is dead and this other stuff, the bigger picture is there's no plan for our community. But you got to give it to their leadership, the business leadership, the political leadership, and their religious leadership. All three are connected and rebuilding their communities. Our communities are not doing that. Our leadership, I want to paint a broad brush because there's always someone that is fighting, but the majority of our leadership, they're not planning. You have to plan. When I was an alderman, I brought some black planners in. I had Ernest, and I got the black planners from, they got a National Black Planners Association, some of the best planners it is. And so, okay, how do you take a community and make it like a city? How do you plan? You have to, you know, there are no plans for our community, but our leadership. The reason there are no plans, and that's why, so somebody bring you anything, we want to build this strip mall. Yeah, let me cut the ribbon. But there are no plans. Our schools are very important, our businesses. They told us don't eat in our restaurant because you get too fat, but then go eat Mexican food, go eat Chinese food, eat all of this. They told us those clubs need to be closed down where you go listen, and then we go somewhere else to listen to the music. It's just they creating crime, and then let's vote this dry. It's framing it the wrong way to destroy our community.
When you stand up and you say these politicians need to go, we're crabs in the barrel. When we question leadership, and it should be questioned, nobody is above reproach.
No, because when you're in all office, you work for the people. And right now, I don't care. Our communities are dying more than just dying from these bullets. We're dying in other ways, too. And it looks like the only time our leadership are comfortable speaking, if they're talking about us, saying, oh, it's terrible, bring in the National Guards, oh, it's terrible, it's awful,
it's still
about the shooting, but nothing positive, nothing planned.
I bet you those teachers never thought they would have lost their job.
Never thought
that kind of, never thought it. I had a teacher who told me I wasn't college material. And some of the black teachers were very mean to the kids. When the truth must be told.
Yeah, but that's what I'm, and we're going to be talking about that today, too, with Professor Small when he comes on.
Okay,
I'm
let you go. The truth must be told.
Mm-hmm.
But when the union went against you, anytime they can, Chicago is the only district where they can shut down a school,
mm-hmm.
get rid of everybody from the cook to the janitor when the school is spotless clean,
mm-hmm.
and do that. But
mm-hmm.
you know what? Our state representatives went for it. You heard nothing from the union. Now, UNO's teachers are joining the Chicago Teachers Union.
Of course they would, because they want to be controlled.
But
they're
taking those places of the black teachers that were lost.
Right, and so black
they
folks.
They don't need you.
Janice, we need to look at their schools. They're building leadership. You need to go
and
to where.
I'm sorry. Congressman is Bobby Rush. I went to his office right over here, and he didn't have one black working for him. I'll admit I went there because I was mad that he was going for illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, you got to depend on the
Are you sure policy. Bobby don't have no blacks working for him?
The one in Midlothian is not one black working in there. I called his office like you told me to. The young man was
I did
rude
tell
to
you
me.
I told you to call his office. I sure did.
And I called his office and the man was rude to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any more blacks are working there, but I'm going to tell you something. I would rather have a white congressman in that office fighting against illegal immigration than the black that's sitting there now.
Well, anybody
we need construction jobs.
Well, anybody that's working for you when you elect them, regardless what color they are, they're supposed to represent you. Thank you, Janice.
Okay, bye-bye.
Uh-huh. No, regardless, anybody's supposed to represent you who's working for you. I mean, when you put them in office, they're supposed to work for you. Let me see here. Majita.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just wanting to listen because of my computer.
You can hold my line. I'm listening, huh? And all my fault, all Ebony.
I have to hear you start my day.
I can't, but all my fault and stuff. Okay. Let me go to the next line.
Okay.
All right, now. I tell you now, that is too much for me. Karen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You had made a statement about
the framing. The framers
and,
of the story.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, so if he's a framer, that makes him a perpetrator, right?
Well, you know, yes, if they frame us wrong, we buy into it. In the book it says, and it's true, and we got static. I don't know what phone you're on, Karen, but we got a lot of static on your call. We got static?
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but just know we got a lot of static, and it's kind of hurting my ears. I'm going to try to go through this with you, and I might... You might have to call back later and get your phone straightened out, but I'm going to try to work it out with you. It's not here.
Oh, okay.
It's on your phone. But listen, in the book, it says that the framer, the ones who frame the story, is the one who wins, that you lose. So right now, we are being framed in terms of what to think about ourselves. Every day it's about shooting. It's about us not having education. All this, they have framed us out. The box where we can't think about nothing. They come to rob, steal, and kill. When they say the devil comes to do that, it don't have to be what people think it is. So the framers of this, they're the framers of our story.
To get it right then.
I agree with you. So listen, Professor Small is going to be talking to him in our 7 o'clock hour. So keep listening, okay?
Yeah.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks,
Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I tell you now, the framers of our story, I tell you, it's the framers. I want Ebony to get Professor on in 10 minutes. Sure, I'm going to try to bring him on a few minutes before Katie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing, Katie?
I'm busy trying to see if I could help get some of this stuff right that's going on out here.
They done framed us in such a way that our people right here, our people are saying the wrong thing. They're
and not enough people are actually working to try to get things correct. And like you said, have a plan and present the plan, come together and present the plan to our leaders and tell them what we want in our community to keep our community strong.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's take, for instance, the fighting that's going on in the schools. Now, with my granddaughter, I protested because she's 30-plus kids in her classroom. I went to CTU. They responded immediately with a meeting with me. I went to Chicago Public School. They shuffled papers. I haven't heard from them back yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they allowed 38 third grade, which is an important grade, 30-plus students, because they allow the mentally challenged students to come in from time to time, small classroom, you know.
That's what them shutting down all these schools and saying these schools supposed to be better. And that's what I mean about the frame of this book that this man wrote called Plans for America. He said, he who frame is he who win. They make you think our children can't learn, don't want to learn. We got to close down 50 schools. And then we go and build all these new schools. You see this new gym school that's in the Sun-Times that they're going to be building downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yes, I keep up with everything.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think of how with the, have you gotten, I'm sure you haven't gotten none of the support that the Beverly School.
Beverly Arts Center?
Yes.
No, that's what I'm saying. And they owed more money than us.
Wow.
And all this stuff, they had $12 million, which is a shop.
Demonize the Harold Washington Center and like it is a pariah in the community instead of to uplift the community. It's pitiful.
Right, and now you see they got to forgive $2.2 million, and then you see what email everybody gave them money. Madigan gave them money. The city gave money to build.
So then what should we do? We should tell our legislators what happened, why you can't do the same with Harold Washington Center.
Right. Because they have got to, it's like two sets of rules. We want to know, is it two sets of rules for the black community?
Yeah, okay. So we
got to fight about the mayor and everybody and City College. You got to talk
to
them.
I go to the alderman,
everybody.
The mayor.
The mayor, the alderman, your senators, the state senator, the state rep, all them folks. Is it two sets of rules here? Because for them to give the bailout, they bailing them out for $2.2 million. $2.2 million, and they forgiving, and then they're going to say, if you raise $500,000, we're going to let you break the other $2.2 up, and they had already given them $12 million. Within a day's time, the white community came together and gave them that $500,000. Two rich whites had come in and said, okay, we want this. And then the mayor says, yesterday, he says that if you go online, you can see it in Trip, he says that it's about preserving the culture and helping the children. Who preserving the culture more than what we do at Harold Washington?
Right. What about our culture and helping our children?
Right.
You know, we have to fight vigorously.
Right.
And unstop because in the south suburbs, the young girls were fighting. I know some of the relatives of the young girls. And what was the situation in that? How come these girls could not be helped? How come before this happened, if they found the situation? But you know what it is that we rush to those suburban schools. We put our children, our black children, in the white suburban system, and then we expect it to be okay because the white folks is running.
Now, I'm telling you. Thank you, Katie, and keep listening, okay?
Sure will.
Thank you so much. I appreciate Katie for calling. I want to take Professor Small before we go on break, and so we can kind of establish how many minutes I got. How many minutes I got? Okay, I got 5 minutes. I want to just talk to Professor before I go on break and come back. This board is lit up. I told you that the mayor said that in his book. He said the framers are the one that win. He who framed is the winner, and the folks who have been framed, they are the losers. And I tell you, we certainly have been framed. Put that on hold. I'm trying to get Professor. Put that back on hold. Okay. Okay, Professor Small, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning? I had to have you back. We've been talking this morning about the two sets of rules, the bailout of the Art Center, but also this whole thing they got with the men at the colleges is doing our music. And I've just been dealing with all this stuff about our schools, the two sets of rules. One of the things in the Players for America that this mayor wrote this book before he became mayor, he was a congressman, and one thing he said, and I've been kind of dealing with that this morning, he said the framer win, and he who have framed, they are the losers. And that's what they're doing in our community. They're framing our community. Yep. They have framed us and have us running all over the place. The little 10%, the little 2% that's doing the damage in our community, they make us focus on that instead of what we need to be doing to plan our community. They make us focus on, they send our children can't learn, and why they building new schools for other folks and getting them ready to compete, and we just repeat what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted, before we went to our break, I wanted to make sure you gave them, I got 2 minutes for the break. I want you to just do a 2-minute overview, and then we're going to give a break and come back to you.
Well, you know, people ask them what framers mean. Framer is the person who describes the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The framer is the person who identifies what is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
The framer is the person who outlines which way a group should go. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, our community have always been framed by the Chicago Jewish community, Italian community, Irish community, Polish community. And now what we are failing to realize is the Catholic Church's role in the Latin community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Both Catholic Church and Catholic schools are full of Latin persons. And what you got to understand, the politics, the Irish Catholic have moved out of that community. The Polish Catholics have moved out of those communities. You understand? The Italian Catholics have moved out of those communities. What are they going to do with those millions and millions of dollars of worth of schools and churches? They've got to bring another Catholic population into Chicago. That Catholic population today we call Latinos.
What they call Hispanics.
Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
That 90% of that population is Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church is a very powerful player in Chicago politics.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at who's controlling the unions in the city. You're talking about another white ethnic group who's very powerful in Chicago politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Malcolm X said when people were discussing in the 60s,
okay,
the Democrats and the Dixiecrats.
You got to hold it. You got to hold it. I got to go on break talking Chicago 69 WVON. We'll be right back. Wake up, everybody. We got James Small here. 591-1690. We're streaming live, www.thevoa.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Blog Talk. We're also on Facebook, Group Facebook, and Twitter. Get your coffee, get your tea. Call your friends and come on back and talk to me along with Professor James Small. I'll be right back.
Mic check, 1-2. Big Pose are coming to stay here ever.
difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop, He allowed me to go up, and I've seen the promised land. And he was talking about looking over and seeing where we've gone. He could not understand that if we open his doors for our black folks, would not just pull it open and bring other black folks in. It wasn't about him sitting down talking to no maid. I hope they don't take this whole darn play and turn it into something like they did I Had a Dream. But anyway, he was murdered. Dr. King was murdered, but before that, he understood. So it's that time, y'all, 7 o'clock hour, wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the city, in the state. Professor Small in New York and Ebony over there, my producer, and Courtney, my engineer. We're going to take this deep breath, y'all. It is that time, the 7 o'clock. Black. One more time, 7 o'clock. Professor, we do the black thing. Put Professor on. You got him locked? Black. Lock in, Professor. Black. Don't it feel good? Courtney, lock in the Professor. Black. I tell you, it's the black. I tell you, it's the black time. It's the black time, y'all. It's so good to feel black. And the reason I make you do that every Saturday, because it's amazing how many black folks are afraid to be black or African-American. They are afraid to be. And you tell me, when you see me in the street, all of them tell me, I'm so glad that you did this, because I've been on my job and I be saying minority. If we are not minority, that's why we say black. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. Our line is down from the stream. WVON.com is offline, but you can also go to the underground. You can type in Dorothy Tillman, I think, in underground, right? Ebony, go into underground. You can go to my blog talk. If you go to my blog talk, you can listen on the blog talk radio. Or you can call 347, whatever that number. Ebony going to give it to me in a minute. And we can do the blog talk. You can just listen to my blog talk, and you can still hear the show. If it's down offline right now, if you can listen on blog talk, just type in blog talk and Dorothy Tillman. Okay, let's go back to Professor. Professor, there's a lot of things we got to talk about. That my 7 o'clock people just woke up, and I was telling them about, by the way, 7 o'clock people, we've been talking about the Beverly Center. You've been calling in about the bailout for the Beverly Center and their culture that they're trying to protect, the city and all of them, Madigan, everybody, the city, the mayor, email everybody giving Beverly all this money. They've been in trouble since 2002 with their $12 million. And also I talked earlier about the fact that we have this Greek man who's at Columbia College now listening to the voice of tradition. It's interesting that they call it the voice of tradition, talking about our music and how we've just been taking out old school, new school. He says old, so I can't listen to it. They never say old school, new school. They said close down our clubs, close down everything. And we bought into it. And the framers in Ronnie Manuel's book, Plan for America, he said, those who frame win and the framer lose. So we'll forever be in frame. The worst thing in the world was to see this young baby on TV with a guitar with his face like that. You would not have done that to a little white child. And he's constantly showing his on the television, so you can get in your mind, oh, my God. And it's not.
Sister Dorothy, mm-hmm. The largest gangs in Chicago is Latino gangs.
Mm-hmm.
They spread all across the country. The Latin Kings, I knew the leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's come and helped me out, God bless his soul, in hard times in the community. And the biggest gangs, the one that runs the city carting business, the gangs that run the construction business, the gang that runs the political business. You're talking about the Irish gang, the Italian gangs, the Jewish gangs. When did they stop calling them gangs? You mean there's no illegal? Chicago has gotten so legal that there's no illegal anything in Chicago except in the black community.
Yeah, they forced black
folks. Crime.
They forced black folks back into the shadows. Well, we can't even use our tax dollars. Anything.
To organized crime mm-hmm. that's causing Chicago so much money. They don't talk about them as gangs anymore.
The only people that's got gangs is black folks because someone is framing the dialogue.
And the
very person who wrote the book, the European grouping that they belong to, framed the dialogue. They control the media. It is the media where the dialogue is being framed and articulated. Who's in control of the media in Chicago?
Well, you'll understand. Not only that, James, you know, Fox did a whole piece on 32, on local Fox, and they did all this gang stuff, talking to folks how, what the subculture was, but never once have we talked about the whole pipeline of where the drugs are coming from.
And
then the killing and stuff that happened is always an excuse, but my thing was,
we got to go hardball. See, Fox is doing the same thing that the Social Democrat in Germany was doing in the 1920s and 30s. You remember the Social Democrat in Germany became the Nazi Party, and the same kind of framing that Fox and its supporters are doing in Chicago, go back and look at history. That's the same way the Social Democrats in Germany was framing the Jews.
And it's all the sections here. And you
do
know what?
You hear what I'm saying?
I heard you very well. And the same. Yes, I heard you very well. Listen, Professor. And the thing of it is, I mentioned Fox did the special, but all of our stations are doing this, and even our Black Talk Radio people. That's all I said. I don't want to hear no more about this little small group of people. And it's wrong what's going on. I'm not saying we bury our head in the sand, but it's so we got to frame our own stuff. We can't repeat everything that they say and they do. They can't. They're framing us out of existence as if.
Right. And so you have a couple of just the one male charter school you have of young black men, all of whom are going to college, is larger than the group of people committing crime in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So if one black school is sending more black kids to college than all of the people committing these crimes they're putting up on the TV every day, what happens to all of those hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other black children graduating school, going to college, getting work, becoming lawyers, teachers, and doctors? Why aren't they in the discussion? And why we are discussing the children that was created, the children that come from, that was put into deprivation by the system? I told you before, go back to the McCarran Act and the 50s and see the plan for the black community and how they've carried it out. The
mm-hmm.
government's plan.
Right.
The white community's plan and how they've carried it out in Chicago is a classic example. Go back to the Moynihan Report.
Oh, yes.
From the early 60s, look at the plan that he laid out
mm-hmm.
and see how the government and the white ethnics that run the government with their Negro counterparts have carried it out. Our president is a part of that whole carrying out process. We have to just accept truth. We say we believe in Christ, but then we live lies. We say we believe in Christ, and then we refuse to try and raise up right and good. 95% of our community have nothing to do with any kind of criminality, and yet we're being made to wear the cloak of the criminal that makes up no more than 3%. And when you look at the genesis and the history of those young people, most of them have been in the hands of the social service institution run by non-blacks from infancy until the penitentiary.
Right, and not only that, James, and when they got into these schools, their first 3 years, some of them never seen a black teacher. The first three years. And right now in Chicago, we closed down 50 schools, and we are building this big old gym school downtown, the three stories to get them ready for this. And our schools are so damaged, and they've been damaged. We've been fighting this for the longest, how bad these schools were. Now, last week you were talking about, and you got into it, and we ran out of time here, when we were talking about those in our community. You know, those who reap the benefits and they have not given back. But also, why was these sororities and these churches and everything put in place? The church was everything to us. The ministers was, it's like a black theology with a black consciousness, a black liberation movement. What happened to the churches from the black theology, black liberation? What happened to what you were talking about?
Those churches were ostracized by the same media.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And when the tax monies and the state monies was given out to buy church vans and to and the churches they chose to set up their food programs in, and they and the monies were given to certain churches for senior citizen housing, they cut out the churches who were doing any kind of black theology,
mm-hmm.
and they only gave those housing monies to those churches and bus monies and food monies to those
and daycare centers and things like that.
Because
when I went south, it was so funny. A lot of the churches down there had began to these white churches, conglomerates had bought up these churches, giving them health care, social centers. But they told these churches, a lot of these churches, you cannot deal with anything but pie in the sky. You will not deal with any liberation. And a lot
right.
of churches up there, they took over all the things that had us, our funeral homes. And in our funeral home, the funeral home people always supported the movement. But they've taken our churches, our funeral home, and a lot of other things when we gather.
Many of the black funeral homes across the country, though they still wear blackface, they're owned by these white funeral mortuary conglomerates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I tried going in the casket business many years ago, and I got a visit.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I got the visit from.
Of course I know.
Telling me that wasn't the business for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that big oil companies own casket companies.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start, they told me you can make shrouds. We'll allow that.
Mm-hmm.
But you will not make or sell caskets.
Well, we used to be able to bury our dead, and now the funeral home business is somewhere else. We were talking last week about the what our sororities was put in place for.
Go all the way back to the only one that came into existence really as a black liberation instrument was the Prince Hall Masons, and then later the Eastern Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our once the Boule was formed, that was formed by black people who were professional doctors and lawyers. Most was white and light skin, and didn't feel they were a part of the black community.
Mm-hmm.
It was the black mulatto class that created what we call the Boule, which is one of the wealthiest fraternity in our community. And they then, in turn, began to create the other sororities and stuff on campus to feed into them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And even today, we have every black college is full of black kids. Every white college in America has got a quota. They quota black kids. They still give us quotas.
Of course they do.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yet they become invisible at graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody discusses them. And if you're a black male, they don't care what your degree is.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have trouble finding a job in America. This is called a race war. It's a race war that's been going on from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
you
not
know.
Waged against anyone else. And that's why I went back to raise the role of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not a church. It's a nation state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a nation state.
Of
Vatican
course.
City is a nation state. And when the white Catholics, the Irish, the Polish, the Italians, left those communities in Chicago, they had to fill those churches and schools with someone. So they went to Central America and South America, and they brought the someones in. And they made their partnership and relationship with the other white ethnics on how they would allow this group of new Catholics to be a buffer zone between them and the black community. But you had to then give them advantage. The other thing in Chicago that we need to keep up, and especially in the face of black elected officials, was the land that was occupied by black people coming out of the South, starting in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, much of that land where they built huge public housing complexes, and much of it was still black privately owned, have gone in the last 20 years to the hands of big white developers.
And most of the places that you have your shooting today and killing are in those communities that they're
yes.
taking back. And also I was telling my audience over the last few weeks, if they remember, and it finally got in the paper that the railroad did get most of the land, is that all the places that you see that the shooting, you have to follow the railroad tracks. And
mm-hmm.
most of our black elected officials have given this land to those railroad companies. The railroad companies buying up all the land surrounding their tracks, and black folks are being moved. It's a whole.
That's why they, Dorothy Tillman, that's why they came after you and pushed you out of office. They wanted the land that you refuse to let them take away from the black community. And it is so funny, the black folks who fought against you, because I came out there and worked in your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
They, as soon as you got out of office, the first thing they did was gave the land to the white folks
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the developers
uh-huh.
and thought nothing of it.
Because they don't know no better. They really don't know any better. They knew better to do better. And right now, they put their puppets in place to take us and move us around. When you look at, I was telling some people the other day, when you look at UNO, well, that's an organization of Hispanics that they're putting together. They built 13, 16 new schools. Their organization took our tax dollars and built. Do you get mad at them? No. Their leaders, their leadership, their religious leadership, their political leadership, and their business leadership came together and said, we're not going to be sending our kids out of our communities, and these are the things we're going to do. And sometimes black folks be scared to work on behalf of black folks, so they think if they work on behalf of black folks, the white community will not accept them back in.
And well, sadly, the white community have never accepted them. They've been nothing more than pimps at the periphery of white society.
Mm-hmm.
And their job is to pimp out the black community in a manner that keeps the white community pleased. You know, I went again when Malcolm X talked about South is anything south of the Canadian border. When you were talking about segregation, Chicago in the 40s was as segregated as Mississippi.
And still is.
And still is. New York is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I live in one of the most segregated community in America called Harlem.
Uh-huh.
You know, Dr.
King said when we came up, he said, y'all talking about the plantation in Mississippi, brother, this plantation up in Chicago would just wipe you out. This plantation. And one of the things, though, James, is that, you know, black folks, the churches was like everything to us. And the ministers worked on our behalf for liberation. And what was his lady
mm-hmm.
name? Miss Walker. What's her name? Walker, who created the first bank with pennies.
Yeah, Margaret Walker.
Uh-huh.
Down in Richmond, Virginia.
Right. So you had Miss Walker. You had S.B. Fuller. You had people, Madam C.J. Walker. All people had money with a purpose. I had people building schools, people bringing money back to our community. And even now, if people would bring money back to our community along with our tax dollars, because our tax base, and that's what black folks understand. You have people in this country right now that's getting our tax base. Those schools was built with our tax money that UNO
right.
built. But
you
we
have
said
illegal immigrants being given more rights
mm-hmm.
than the legal black citizen
mm-hmm.
who pays tax every day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
Let me do this, James. This board is lit up. Maybe I can get some of the calls out, and
mm-hmm.
then I can come back and see just what to do here. I don't know. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Alderman Tillman, Maceo.
Hey, Maceo.
And good morning, Professor Small.
Morning,
okay, and
Maceo.
I want everybody to ask a question so we can move forward. The board is lit up, Maceo.
Oh, certainly. Okay, Professor Small, in regards to what you were talking about, you and Alderman Tillman, about the church. Now, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, had and most people don't know this, a religious component in that the African Orthodox Church, based upon the Coptic Church in Ethiopia, black theology, black religion, black Jesus. But anyway, I wanted
And Jesus was black. No way in the world was anything
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that organization has done so much, and it's a great blueprint to follow. But I wanted to know, can you address that in terms of that, phase, that segment of the UNIA?
Okay.
And the 100th anniversary is coming up in 2014.
Okay, Jay, I want you to write down the question. I'm going to take three calls at a time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I got to enter this board, so I got to try to do something. Mama D?
No, this is Dee from the West Side.
Dee from the West Side. You done changed your mind about bringing in the troops after last
yes,
week?
Yes, I have, but God is still on the throne.
Okay.
And they're planning, plotting, but God says that...
James said, good morning, Sister Dee. He's the one who wanted the troops
I'm
to come
sorry.
In last
I'm
week.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Hold up, Sister Dee. Professor Small, after last week, she's changed her mind about troops coming in. Go on.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, I did. And then today you are very, very heavy. But, Mike, I apologize. But I think maybe the FBI might be able to do something because they know how to infiltrate and pretend and act. But here's my question. Why do you think so many black men are marrying whites? You can't find nobody hardly special in the
You mean black men with money? Huh? Black men with money, you know.
Yeah,
Paul Mooney said that they, Paul Mooney said they farm them and say, go get that money and bring it home, child.
Okay, that's my question. Have a good day, Sister Dorothy, and you too, Brother
right,
Professor.
Bye. Thank you so much. Pam, you have a question for Professor Small?
Yes, Professor Small. Thank you, Alderman Tillman. I love you. I have so many questions. I guess the first, Alderman Tillman, we had Chicago Amnesty come here because that racist John Burge and Mayor Daley knew about the torture of black men. I didn't see all the national coverage from the media. I didn't see people doing story night after night after the torture.
You frame it. You frame it. You frame it, Pam. However you frame it. What's your question?
Yes, this is it. What do we do about those in the media, Professor Small, black people? You have black talk show hosts who come and say some of the most detrimental things about black people over the air. We need all hands on deck to tackle this issue. What do we do about the black media? And you heard them, Alderman Tillman, so you can expound on it.
Well, I'm talking about it earlier, that we got to stop letting them, we repeat
but
what they frame
do.
Okay, hang on.
Hosts in the media, particularly black people, who are not working in our favor.
Hope?
What about the the National Black Journalists Association?
Okay, Pam, you need to. Okay, you hang on. I'm going to take one more call, Professor, and then you're going to answer these questions. Rosa, what's your question for Professor?
Well, I have a statement.
Well, don't make it too long because I got a guess. You got to have a question.
Black people have slipped, tripped, and stumbled back into slavery, but without the shackle. And the black politicians and these wealthy black people in high places, like Leon Spinney, he is helping the framer frame black people. And this helps. Same passion to where the black children go down. It reminds me of the passageway where slaves who is looking for freedom that
okay. Okay. Thank you. Let me say, Finney had nothing to do with the black. It was the passage. The passage, the safe passage, that's coming from the city.
That's like apartheid.
It
is. Apartheid.
But I'm saying it's coming from this administration and this Board of Education, not Finney.
It's coming from the same Americans who supported apartheid in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
you know, whoever they are.
Yes. Go on, answer the three questions. I'm going to let you. You got it, James, and I'll do all you want.
Ma'am.
Okay, cool.
You know, the first question, the brother was talking about the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which Garvey built, and it still, in a small way, still exists. But the general black Christian community in America behaved as a black church
mm-hmm.
until very recently.
That's right.
Okay.
Black theology with black liberation, right?
Most of our movement through the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s was led by the black church.
And the 60s.
These were black ministers. These
mm-hmm.
were black women and men out of the churches
mm-hmm.
that led the 90% of the movement that brought us the rights and privileges we have in America. Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, I think it was under Reagan when they began to pull the churches together, then Bush was able to tie it in a knot when they brought the churches in and says,
faith-based.
Start
about faith-based.
The faith-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was about buying up the black church,
mm-hmm.
you see? And in this faith-based thing, they started giving churches buses for senior citizens, money to build housing for senior citizens. They start saying, you can now take over the food program of the federal government, and we will pay you to do this. We will give you subsidy monies besides your tax write-off to build new churches. And so they bought off a large segment, especially in the major cities, of black churches. And then we started getting something else. Most of the theology, the schools of theology in America, except for two or three, are white run, and even the black ones are white scholarship based in terms of written material. In the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, our ministers was grown out of the church itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting ministers with PhDs coming from white seminaries to run black churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to look at what the implications of all of this have been.
What was that school
so,
in Mississippi? Pine something that this church built. What was that school down in Mississippi that they graduated? A lot of folks out of the college. They was building schools and colleges and a whole lot of things. Our people was building communities. They
uh-huh.
were building communities. and something happening.
They built community.
Right.
And that's why I said you got to go back to the McCarran report. You got to go back to the Monahan report. You got to see that somebody looked at our communities and says, oh, my God, the slaves are freeing themselves. Let's come up with state, local, and national policy to dismantle the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are seeing is the implementation of those policies over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
After the success of the civil rights movement, this thing went into high gear.
Right.
And I mentioned on your show before that you then, Dorothy, and I was at the time, we were the youth.
Right.
Behind the Dr. King, behind the Malcolm,
mm-hmm.
we were the youth, which made up over 80%, if not more, of those movements.
Right.
And so they targeted the youth with drugs, and then they came back with the music. They created, we can talk about how we created rap all we want, but let me tell you a little secret. We may have created rap as a response to them taking music out of our school and as a response in the 70s of this crossover music where you had to sing like white folks in order
mm-hmm,
to sell a record.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we came up with a way of creating our own music, but they immediately moved in and took it over
right.
and turned it into a destructive, profane presentation of black culture.
Mm-hmm. And when then you hear this administration, everybody talking about how important culture is, and they're going to save it for the culture. And that you told me when we built the Harold Washington Center, they're going to have a fit over there, Dorothy,
that's right.
because for black folks to be telling their stories on stage, that's something.
Culture is what protects a people from genocide.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because culture gives you the word culture come from the Greek and Latin root to cultivate. Mm-hmm. What is it that you are cultivating? The best of your ancestors. That's what culture is and what culture does.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are controlling your culture, then you are cultivating the best of your ancestors. If your enemy controls your culture, they're going to cultivate the worst of your ancestors
right.
and theirs.
Right.
And so, but come back to the question. Yes, we need a black, Dr. Ben wrote a book called A Black Church.
Dr. Ben Clark,
black,
tell him about Ben
yeah.
Clark.
No, Dr. Yosef Ben-Yakin, and he was the comrade, the friend to Dr. John Henry Clark.
Okay.
And his book is called A Black Seminary Without a Black Theology.
Mm.
Black Seminarians Without a Black Theology. And
okay.
people need to go back and look at that book.
Okay.
He wrote that in the 60s, and it's really a fantastic book to explain what's going on now. But the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Garvey, was a good thrust, but the black church in general, particularly the Black Baptist Church and the Southern Black Methodist Churches,
right.
those churches and the AME churches,
mm-hmm.
those churches were black. They couldn't get no blacker in the work they did for the black community.
Right.
But something has happened in the attack that our government and the white ethnics in the urban center have launched against our communities, including our churches, since the 1960s. And then the other sister was
Pam.
Asking about why we are marrying white.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a part of the framers, you see.
Mm-hmm.
When people frame how you feel,
mm-hmm.
and so when they say that there's no problem, there's no more racial problem, we're in a post-racist society. I don't know who changed the racist. I don't remember anybody sending the racist to a re-cleansing program or revitalizing program, but what they wanted to do was to take those images that they could not keep submerged, like the football player and the basketball players and the golfers and the movie stars, those images that they needed, so they had to let them shine. They made sure that they went into that image package and directed both their finances and their oratory to the white community.
Well, you know,
it isn't just black men. It's black women in those same areas of marrying into the white community.
Well,
you do not see the white movie stars and others marrying into the black community.
Right. You know what? One of the things, Professor, is that a black athlete will not marry a black waitress, but he'll marry a white waitress and take care of her and her family and everything
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. like Tiger Woods. He would marry
the nanny,
the babysitter, the nanny.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that in our
community.
Right.
Right, because the people, if you look at every one of our black athletes, black movie star, and ask who is managing them,
mm-hmm.
who's managing
oh, yeah.
their monies,
mm-hmm.
who's managing their investment,
mm-hmm.
who is the person, what's the person called that they hire?
The agent.
The agent.
Mm-hmm. What that $50 million slave? Remember what that book, that $50 million slave or something, that book
mm-hmm.
that came out?
So when you look and see who those agents are,
mm-hmm.
and then you know, you just look at who's managing the music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are singing, and we're dancing.
Oh, well, not that many of us singing anymore, James.
Well,
if you look,
that's true.
We're
well, that's
not recording that much.
Let me tell you the point I wanted to make. For those who are singing and dancing and even owning their own label, none of them control distribution.
Mm-hmm.
It is distribution that drives the wealth of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
mm-hmm.
controlling the distribution?
Mm-hmm.
That's the person that determines what happens. My daughter was big in the record industry,
mm-hmm.
and she was president of a particular group. I won't call their name
because
mm-hmm. they've got – but whenever – and this is one of the biggest writer of rhythm and blues in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they completed a track, my daughter had to get on an airplane, fly to Los Angeles, to the white folks,
mm-hmm.
for them to approve the lyrics and the music. And if they didn't like it, she had to fly back to the East Coast over again.
And which goes to who protects
you understand?
Yeah, I understand. Your culture. When you hear yesterday, what did they say? This culture for the Beverly Arts Center, it's the culture. We got to protect this culture. The children need the culture.
Mm-hmm.
What about our children? Now, it was another question Pam had. I can't remember a question. You write a question
down
because I got to go back to the board in a minute. The board
Chicago
is still lit up.
Black media and the blacks in media
and
their negative position they take as regards black people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for the same reason, those black in media, they're not media. They're people with jobs in the media. And they feel that their job is predicated on white approval.
Well, you know,
and
some of the black press, when you look at how they've gone like a weekly, and most of the black press now don't even get ads. So they're
mm-hmm.
just like they don't get ads from these when they start going mainstream and they say you have to get no ads in the black on the black radio or in black newspapers, you can just go on because blacks going to get this diversity stuff. This diversity and minority stuff really hurt the black
media.
We're
the only one that sold diversity. They're not telling the Latinos to diverse. They're not telling the Jews or the Asians to diverse.
Right.
They're telling the Asian. Everywhere you go, there's Korea town, Thailand town, Vietnam town,
mm-hmm.
China town, Japanese town, and that's being praised.
Mm-hmm.
Them segregating themselves is being praised. They're not being told to get diverse.
Right.
We're the only one that are told to be diverse because what they're talking about, dilution.
Mm-hmm.
To dilute yourself to the point you don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
dialogue does not take place in the Mexican community. It does not take place in the Polish or Greek community or Italian community or Jewish community.
Okay.
The only community that's told to get into diversity, to look at themselves as a minority is our community.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
and what
we've got to realize is that we when you have someone else's culture, and a lot of what we're calling black culture is really warmed over white culture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a black culture. And black culture means you must be raising up the black African-American experience and the people who made from our black community who made that experience palatable for us to live and be as successful as we have been.
Mm-hmm.
The black community is one of the most successful community in America who reached its success legitimately. Every one of the main white and I'll say Latin communities have reached their success through criminality.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is the only one
mm-hmm.
that have arrived at the level of professional creation and success that we have arrived at with non-criminal development.
Oh.
Look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. So now they're trying to criminalize the community who have gained what they've gained through struggle and right living and trying to promote the communities who've gained what they've gained through criminality. Look at the history. Go back to Al Capone. Go back to Lefkowitz. Go back to Meyer Lansky. Go back to the Latin Kings. Go and see where their monies came from.
And they're still using that drug money. We can't use it.
I hope they hear what I'm saying.
They're hearing you. The whole world is hearing you. My
okay.
This goes all around the country. You got folks listening to me all over the world. Hold on.
Yes, Block Talk. You have a question. They didn't give me your name. You have a question, Professor Small. Hello? Okay, put them back on hold. I guess they don't yet. We had a blog.
Let me mention a good book, though, I think.
Put them back on hold.
Okay, I'm listening.
The Criminalization of a Race by Dr. Sharshi McIntyre. Buy that book, people.
Criminalization of a Race?
The Criminalization of a Race by Dr. Sharshi McIntyre. That was Sharshi's dissertation 20 years ago. And few of us have even heard of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most fantastic analysis of what's going on right now in Chicago and the rest of the country.
Okay, let me try to get these 15 minutes as many as I can. This board is lit up and lit up all the morning. I'm going to try to – y'all got to help me out with y'all 30 minutes to a minute. You cannot talk too long because Professor Small got to answer you. I'm going to take three questions, Professor. Then you're going to have to answer them. I only got like about 13 minutes left, so please don't
I've
give
got
me no –
my pen in hand.
Don't y'all give me no statement. Give me a question. Ms. Huntington.
Yes. Good morning, Alderman Tillman and Dr. Small.
Good morning.
My
good morning,
question
sister.
Is, why are we hated so much? And the fact that our culture was perpetrated through the education of vocational home economics and vocational agriculture, and all of these courses have been taken out of the public schools. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see what else we're going here. I tell you. Hello.
Good morning.
Now, who am I speaking to? She didn't put your name down.
Good morning, Mama D here.
Oh, Mama D, yes. You got one question?
December 18, 2009, the U.S. Senate apologized for slavery and did a disclaimer, no development or for blacks. On June...
Question?
My question is, if we don't get reparations under this president who has used his executive order pen to give reparations to non-citizens, when will we get it?
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to try and get it. I'm going to try to see what I can do here. Benjamin, question?
Hey, good morning, sir.
Sir, questions. We're in 30 seconds. Questions here because we've run out of time.
My question is, good morning, Ms. Tillman. This is Benjamin. Ms. Tillman, I have to ask you a question, Ms. Tillman, to the professor. Why do us as blacks, we feel that we have to verbally assault, verbally offense each other, verbally insult people, to disrespect us and our own self when we're just trying to have a nice discussion, whether we agree on the issue, Ms. Tillman, or we disagree on the issue? Why we got to disrespect each other or insult each other just when we're trying to...
Okay, I'll see. Can we answer that? Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Professor, you want to try to answer some of those questions?
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to try to go. Don't take
them
too long because I want to try to go back to the board.
Why are we so hated? Well, the primary reason is because the largest crime against humanity was not what happened in Nazi Germany. It was what happened here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And what we call the enslavement process of the black American. And that 300 or so years of enslavement, which included Jim Crow. And the death of millions upon millions of our people. And the deprivation and the deny of the humanity and the human beingness by a primarily white ethnic community who now holds power in the world. And they cannot allow the African American to emerge, because if we emerge on the world stage in the manner that we are, then it tells the whole world, shows the whole world the crime that they have committed against us and is still committing against us, you see. And so the cover will be pulled off of the false history that we call America, who's going around the world screaming human rights and democracy while they are practicing a crime against humanity, against its own citizens and its own population who happen to be black.
Now, we needed that long answer for that, but the other one make them short. You got two more questions.
Yeah, okay. And Sister D is talking about reparations. Reparations come to the point of repair. It isn't just money. Reparations about repairing the cultural contradiction, repairing the economic, social, and political contradiction that is imposed upon the African-American community. And that's why they don't want to even go there, because to repair it is to create a competition based on what I call righteousness,
mm-hmm.
right behaving,
mm-hmm.
that could build the America that everybody claimed they dream of but don't want to even walk towards it. And what Benjamin was talking about it and wanted you, I understood where he was coming from, but I'm going to answer the question anyway. You know, if you've got criminals in your community, Benjamin, you got to call them criminals. If you've got liars in your community, you got to call them liars. If you have thieves in your community, you got to call them thieves. We can't keep pretending that the criminals in our community don't exist when our community is in the crisis it's in. Where is the leadership? If they're just having a dialogue, then tell me, where are they? I haven't heard the dialogue. I don't see a black leadership. I see a small black leadership, some of them coming from the church, very few coming from the civic sector, and much less coming from the black economic sector. And so the overwhelming majority of so-called black leadership are not leaders at all.
Okay, did you have enough? Did you answer all three of them? You answered
yes,
all three?
Ma'am.
Okay, Dede, Zakiya. Question?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Alderman, and good morning, Professor Small.
Okay, what's
good
your
morning,
question? Good morning.
It's always good hearing from you, brother. I had a comment, but I'm going to try and put it
in the form of
a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, how would you deal with a situation where we have an all-black firehouse on 34th and Calumet, and we had a picture of Mayor Washington on the wall. City Council passed the law that it should hang on the wall, and on three occasions it has been removed. The second time they removed it. They
What's your question with about
phone.
That, Zakiya? Because I want to
so,
get. Uh huh.
I beg your pardon.
What's your question, Professor Small?
Yeah, all-black firehouse.
Okay.
And why
all-black firehouse.
Okay.
Because you've got a firehouse with black skinned people with white consciousness, and whose primary character.
James, I wanted to take three questions at a time, but you done already started answering.
Okay. That's a simple one. You're dealing with a bunch of black cowards.
Okay. I want to take three questions at a time because I don't have about five minutes. I want everybody to get in.
Didi.
Uh huh. Didi.
Good morning to you and your guests.
Good morning.
My question is, how do we go about separating our true African culture from the culture that was given to us when we got here? Because that culture, I understand, is to make us a good slave, so we're still practicing some of that. And
okay.
That's
your question. Okay. Okay, he got it. I'm going to get one more question, James. Ludi, what's your question?
Oh, hi, Dorothy. It's Ludi.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, I think that we're also hated, and I wonder if you feel the same way, because of our brilliance in the past and our brilliance that has been shown in the ancient days, and there's some sort of DNA that's preserved in their culture that recognizes that brilliance and hates it and also hates our stature.
Okay, you got to give a question, Ludi. I ain't got but a few minutes.
Okay, that's also, I think, the reason we're hated.
Okay.
Because
I'm gonna try to take Ken before you answer, and then I'm gonna come back to you. I got like 6 minutes, y'all. Y'all gotta help me, Ken.
Good morning, Alderman.
Yes.
Yes. Very quickly. First of all, could you have Professor Small back, because we need to have this on a continuing basis.
I had him last week. I brought him back this week.
I know you did. I tuned into him.
Okay.
I know you did. My final question is this here, Professor. How can we keep up with you? I don't. You know, whether it's electronic classroom, whatever. How can
we
keep
listening. He'll tell you how to keep up. Okay. Minister Plump, what's your question?
Minister Plump.
What's your question? You got 30 seconds for a question.
Yes, Minister Plump. My question to Professor Small is, will you be able to help us do a collaboration concerning free Dr. Charles Cohen?
Okay, thank you so much. Professor, can you go down and get these questions in priority, because you ain't got but a few minutes.
Yes, ma'am. The firehouse is an easy one. You're talking about unconscious cowards, and you got to call people what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Washington, and that short period he was there, the extraordinary work he did, his picture should be up on every lamppost in the black community.
That's right.
So if people are taking it down, you're talking about unconscious cowards.
Okay.
And the sister was asking the question about our true African culture. versus the culture they've given us.
Mm-hmm.
They've constantly tried to impose their version of what is African-American culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the framing is all about that Dorothy opened up with this morning.
Mm-hmm.
They're always trying to frame us by framing us into a cultural perspective that comes out of their mind. But true African culture is the behavior of African people is for the sake of their survival.
Mm-hmm.
The struggles that we have gone through in North America and what that struggle has produced and the type of people they've produced, that is true African culture.
Hurry up,
Dad.
We got like 4 minutes.
Okay, but I want to make that clear because this is too important.
Mm-hmm.
African-American culture is as true a African culture as is Yoruba culture or Akan culture or Ethiopian culture.
Right.
Because the culture is nothing but what a people do
mm-hmm.
to recreate themselves in their ancestral positive image in the geography and the polity they find themselves.
Okay, but then...
And so you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Did you answer everybody's question?
African-American has produced the most enormous culture, and it is that culture based on true democracy,
okay.
based on true citizenship, based on true humanity that this society is trying to deny.
Okay, let me see. Can I get this one from the blog talk he's been holding?
Yes, what's your question? Hello?
Majida. This is Majida.
Majida, you just have you have 30 seconds to ask this question.
Okay.
We run out of
My
time.
Question is why and when did we allow homosexuals to latch themselves onto our freedom fighting, and what can we do to remove that thought process because they're putting it in our children?
Thank you. I can do it in 30 seconds, but I got to get up out of here in a minute.
Yeah. Well, we've always had, since we've been in America because of the abuse, brothers and sisters who are homosexuals in our community.
There was rape coming over here on the ship, wasn't there?
And they've worked as hard for freedom as any other element of our community. What we see now is a white homosexual culture being imposed on the black community. That's different from someone who happens to be homosexual, whether created one or born as a hermaphrodite. We've had those people always working for freedom beside us and a part of our family and not trying to destroy our ethical moral foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But what you got now is a white homosexual movement
mm-hmm.
that is trying to destroy the very ethical moral foundation of the black community, and that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's an attack
okay.
on our humanity and our integrity.
Well, Professor, I've enjoyed you. This has been wonderful. I got to have you back. I think I'm going to get Dr. King to talk about Mellon next week. So, folks,
yes,
that'll be the good follow-up. We've enjoyed having you, and I got to have you back. It just don't seem like it's enough time. We had you for so long. I got to have you back. I want to say Mrs. Lara, who passed, Joe Lara's wife, Mrs. Lara, who passed on Thursday. Our prayers go out to her and her family. I haven't decided whether they want to get down to Atlanta to her funeral, but you do have our prayers. For those who don't know, Mrs. Josie Lawrence passed yesterday, Thursday, in Atlanta, one of our great civil rights leaders. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago, 69 at Vivillion, Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on VON and also Blog Talk Radio. You can go to Underground Jimmy Lee. If you missed this discussion, go Underground Blog Talk Jimmy Lee, or either go to Dorothy Tillman Blog Talk and come on in and listen to me. Until next week, hold on, Professor. Reparations now.